Rolling along with you here on a Wednesday hump day edition of Chris Thomas Tonight. Turtle with you until 10 o'clock weeknights here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll continue our football conversation right now on the WadeFord.com hotline as Frank Schwab joins us from Yahoo Sports. Make sure you check out the Inside Coverage podcast. And Frank, let's start here in Atlanta. An up and down season so far for the Falcons through four games. They're on their bye week, but we have seen a lot of promise, a nice bounce back last week in a win against the Commanders. What have you seen so far?
Yeah, just like you said, up and down. It's hard to know what to make of them so far. Michael Penix has been inconsistent. I mean, you go from getting shut out against the Panthers, who have a terrible defense. One of the weirder results you're going to see, and then they come back and they look great against the Commanders and blow them out. And Michael Penix throws for, I think, 313. Like, I don't even know how to gauge that. The defense has honestly looked pretty good, much better than I thought. I didn't think that defense would come together so quick relying on rookie pass rushers, but it has been pretty good. So you just look at it all and you say, yeah, 2-2. That's about right. That's what you've seen out of this team. I don't think they're very good yet. I don't think they're bad. I just think we don't know what they are. It's one of they're kind of a mystery to me anyway, as we, you know, head into the second quarter of the season.
So many headlines going on in the NFL right now, but maybe none more surprising than the 1-3 Ravens with a chance of Lamar Jackson. According to several reports, he has a chance to miss up to a couple of weeks with an injury. How big of a blow is that, and can they overcome it?
And if it was just Lamar, it would be bad, right? Like, I mean, I think he's the best player in the NFL, and you go down to Cooper Rush, and that's going to be a challenge. Like, there's just no way around that, right? But it's about 12 other guys on their injury report. Ronnie Stanley, Roquan Smith, and half of their secondary. It's just unbelievable how many injuries they're dealing with right now. And you just look at their schedule and you say, hey, we got two home games left before the bye against the Texans and the Rams. We got to survive this somehow. They have to come up with at least one win and probably win both games. You don't want to go in your bye 1-5. Like, you're almost done at that point. So I don't know. I look at their, they're going to have a preseason lineup out there on Sunday against the Houston Texans. And I'm not saying they're not going to compete, because John Harbaugh is a great coach and they still, even missing a ton of guys, they still do have talented players, but it's absolute critical mass for the Ravens at this point. I think I don't know how they kind of survive all these injuries and come out looking better after their bye in week 7, because it's just, there's so many guys hurt. And you do wonder, you know, you don't want to bring back Lamar Jackson before he's ready, but if you lose this week to the Texans, you're facing the Rams at home, you're like, well, we got to kind of roll the dice and hope he can get through this week. I don't know. They're just in a really, really, really tough spot.
Chiefs offensive explosion in that game, more about the Ravens defense and their injuries on it, or the Chiefs finally found it?
I think it's more the Ravens, but I won't discount how good the Chiefs looked. And this is Patrick Mahomes. If people had watched the games, Patrick Mahomes was playing at a really, really, really high level. He just didn't have anybody around him. I thought he was absolutely positively carrying that franchise for a few games. And look what happens when you just give him one weapon. You give him Xavier Worthy, who wasn't, I don't even think, totally healthy. Didn't play 100% of the snaps or anything. You just give him one guy. He's like, all right, I can do something with this. And they look a ton better. And I think if you think ahead, and it's like, okay, well, at some point, you know, week 7, Rashee Rice comes back, and he's not coming back off an injury. He doesn't. There's no question of like, oh, is this ankle injury going to linger? Now he's just coming off suspension, so he should be fully healthy, fully ready to go. Once you put Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy with Patrick Mahomes, you move everybody down a notch. Travis Kelce doesn't have to be the guy, and Tyquan Thornton doesn't need to have this huge role in the offense or anything. All of a sudden, you might see the Chiefs get really hot in the second half of the season. I've had so much respect for what Patrick Mahomes has done these first four games. I know, you know, you can sort of say, oh, well, they started 1-2. He couldn't have been that great. He was. He's really been playing some of his best football, I thought. And now it's going to get a lot easier for him getting guys back in the lineup.
Can you make the argument that the Eagles actually thrive off of all the drama that seems like is self-created? Because they're the best team in football by a large margin, in my opinion. But the only thing that stops them is themselves.
It's amazing. Like, any other team is 4-0. The Buffalo Bills are 4-0, the other 4-0 team in the NFL. You don't hear a peep out of them. Like, it is, they're happy. Locker rooms, everybody's getting along. Everybody's doing their job. Everybody's having a piece of the pie. Everybody's great. Eagles at 4-0, it's like miserable because it's just Philly. There's always some drama in Philadelphia. And I love it, to be honest, because, I mean, it gives us stuff to talk about, doesn't it? A.J. Brown's not happy now. And the Eagles, I will say this, the Eagles are 4-0, and you might be right. They might be the best team in football. I mean, they certainly were deserving champions last year. They've won 20-21, all that kind of stuff. But when you look at their first four games, there's been at least one quarter in every game and sometimes a half of each game where they've looked terrible. You think back that the Rams actually dominated them for about 2.5 quarters. Last week against the Buccaneers, they didn't complete a pass in the entire second half. It's just, I don't know what's going on with them. They're 4-0 with three quality wins, an unbelievably good roster. Obviously, they won a Super Bowl last year. But there's just something missing with that Eagles team. I'm really interested to see them play the Broncos on Sunday. I think the Broncos are a good football team. They lost two games at the Colts, at the Chargers, both playoff teams, with no time left on the clock. Otherwise, they'd be 3-1, 4-0. We'd be having a different conversation about the Broncos. I'm really interested to see how the Eagles look against the Broncos. I think that's the most – this week is not a great week of games. I'm not going to lie to you. There's no crazy great marquee game, I don't think. I think that one's the most interesting because I want to see, hey, can the Eagles keep skating by or do we actually see their A game for the first time this season?
Talking all things NFL with our buddy Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports. Make sure you check out the Inside Coverage podcast. What do you make of the injuries for San Francisco? How do you even explain it?
Yeah, I mean, they were the most injured team in the NFL last year as far as games lost and all that kind of stuff, the metrics. And that, you think it's bad luck, right? Like, that's not going to repeat. We just had a bad, unlucky season. And then you come back and they're the most injured team in the NFL again. It's unbelievable. And, we did just talk about this on the Inside Coverage podcast about, the 49ers are going to have to sit down and have a real discussion about what are we doing wrong? Is our training wrong? Is our off-season program wrong? Is our strength and conditioning, our athletic training staff, what needs to change? Or is this just a ridiculous, ridiculous run of bad luck? I tend to think it's mostly bad luck. It's unbelievable, though. They're going to go into tomorrow's game without Brock Purdy, George Kittle, Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall, Brandon Ayuk, and Nick Bosa. That's like the list of guys you send to the Pro Bowl, right? Like, here's our Pro Bowl players. Like, that's how bad it is for the 49ers. They're playing without all those guys tomorrow. Christian McCaffrey had 31 carries or 31 touches on Sunday. I don't think you can ask him to have 40, 4 days later. So it's just tough on the 49ers. I thought they did an excellent job to get to 3-0 despite all the adversity. But now you look, and unless they pull off an upset, they're going to be 3-2 dealing with a ton of injuries going forward. Nick Bosa ain't coming back. He's their most valuable player in my mind. So, just a ridiculous run of bad injury luck for the 49ers.
Can Jackson Dart in New York still showcase himself without neighbors?
I think so to some extent. I think we need to have realistic expectations for Jackson Dart. I thought he played well last week. I don't think he made anybody forget about Eli Manning and Phil Sims yet. But he's going to be a good player. There's just going to be ups and downs. And I do think Malik Nabers being out really sets him back because you look at it, they just don't have much anymore. Cam Scadabu has played very well at running back and he'll help there. But you look at the receivers and it's Wandale Robinson, Darius Slayton, Theo Johnson, and the guys who have some talent, but there's nobody who's just elevating Jackson Dart's game like Malik Nabers would. So pretty tough for him the rest of the year, but I just think as long as and I know this is impossible in the NFL, and we talk about the NFL and analyze the NFL and all that kind of stuff, if we keep a level head about Jackson Dart and what our expectations are for him the rest of the year, I think he's going to grow it just fine and have a good, solid rookie season and build a foundation for himself where the Giants can feel really good about him going forward. But, it's New York, it's the NFL, it's the Giants, it's a first-round pick at quarterback. We're probably going to freak out every single time Jackson Dart plays a game.
The other team in New York, what can you even say? The Jets are jetsing 0-4, another new coach, goodness. Another new quarterback, lose an embarrassment of a game on Monday Night Football. Where's the hope for this franchise? It's hard to find, Frank.
It really is. It really, really is. And I thought it was Aaron Glenn. And I'm still not giving up on Aaron Glenn after four games or anything. I thought it was a great hire. I think he's a guy who can set a culture there. I like him. I like him. I like Aaron Glenn as a coach. But I can't lie to you. I sat there Monday and watched that game like everybody else did and just said there are every telltale sign of a poorly coached team is here. The penalties, the turnovers, the just dumb mistakes. You get to a point where you're like, well, that's how Aaron Glenn too. He can yell at his team all he wants and he can get frustrated on the sideline, but some of that stuff is just, you look like a poorly coached team right now. You can't beat the Dolphins who played most of that game without Tyreek Hill. Like, come on. Like, I just think it's not been a good run out for them. It's not going to get easier for Aaron Glenn. I mean, if he goes, I thought that team was going to actually compete this year. I did. You look and they still have a lot of talented dudes, Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall and Quinton Williams and Sauce Gardner and all the rest. There's a lot of talent, young talent on that team. What are you going to do? You're going to go 3-14 though in that market, and already people are questioning you and what you can be. And they need to win bad. That's the team. Like, if you're talking about which team in the NFL needs to win the worst, the Ravens might be at the top of that list, but the Jets aren't far behind. They have a winnable game on Sunday. Maybe they can get one, because that just seems like a team that, man, if you get to 0-8, 0-9 in that market with that fan base, it's going to get really ugly for Aaron Glenn.
Well, you mentioned the talent, but the talent gets neutralized when you have 13 accepted penalties for 100 yards.
Yeah, no team. Yeah, it's awful.
And that goes, unfortunately, to Aaron Glenn as the coach. All right, before I let you go, please explain to me why Shedeur Sanders put his foot in his mouth literally the way that he did today.
I don't know what he's doing. Like, Shador's a rookie, but I'm not giving him that excuse, because of any rookie who's come into the NFL recently, nobody has had more media exposure in her lifetime than Shedeur Sanders. So your Cleveland media goes up to, and I don't even know what they're basically just asking him, you know, what he thinks of Dylan Gabriel getting the start. And he just pantomimes answers and, you know, he's just moving his lips. And like, what are you doing? Like, just say, hey, not today, guys. It's Dylan's day. Let him be taught. Or just give a couple cliches. Hey, I'm just rooting for Dylan. I'm here to support him. Just trying to get better myself and practice, blah, blah, blah. He does that, and he becomes a story. And it's the Shedeur thing is already weird, because I've compared him a million times to Tim Tebow, not as a player, but just as far as this attention that follows him around constantly, and people freak out on both sides. You can never be too positive about Shedeur Sanders for those people. You can never be too negative about Shedeur Sanders for the haters. It's just, he knows this too. And I think that it's one of those, when we talked in April, at late April, when everyone was like, how do you not take a shot on Shedeur Sanders in the fourth round, in the early fifth round? It's because of this. It is because of exactly this. Because teams knew this isn't some normal third string, fifth round quarterback. He comes in and he's the center of attention, and everything he does is magnified, and the circus comes with him. And a lot of teams, I think, around the NFL in the next couple of days are going to be like, yep, that's why. That's why we didn't draft Shedeur Sanders. And I'm not trying to, like, you know, just throw Shedeur Sanders under the bus. I like Shedeur. I'm based in Colorado. I saw him and his father and Travis Hunter turn around an absolutely dead CU program. But, yeah, that was not a good look for him today, and hopefully he'll learn from that going forward.
Frank, appreciate it. As always, we'll be checking out the pod. We'll chat soon.
Absolutely appreciate it.
All right, that is Frank Schwab. Make sure you check him out at Yahoo Sports NFL, one of my favorites to talk ball with. Hey, this Friday, join us at Twin Peaks in Buckhead for a special broadcast of the Midday Show with Andy and Rende. Come have lunch with us and enjoy the scenic views as we get ready for a big weekend of college and pro ball. That's Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Twin Peaks in Buckhead on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Excited for what's next, Oren and I. Falcons are on their bye week. Let's take a look at the state of the NFL. Contenders or pretenders? How many contenders will we have? Let's figure this out next.